Ah, spring. You cannot beat the sounds of birds on that first warm spring day. Hello, I'm Dan Libman. Welcome to Under Rocks. When I say bird bands, what do you think of? Do you think of the Yardbirds or the Birds maybe? Or perhaps your tastes are more along the lines of the Eagles of death metal. Or maybe you like the Eagles of regular music. Whatever your tastes, this kind of bird banding that we're going to be looking at today is entirely different. This is the kind where bird lovers of all stripes go out and try to help the birds. You'll see what I mean. Sue Stevens really is our Big Bird fan in the Under Rocks group. I don't mean she's a fan of Big Bird. I mean she's a serious birder. She was unable to join us. However, Spencer Tritt and I headed up north, and we were met by friend of the podcast, Connie Kuntz, who had been bird banding before. I practiced that a lot because it's hard to say, been bird banding before. Try saying it. Spencer, Connie, and I got in the Under Rocks van and headed up north towards Durand and the Colored Sands Forest Preserve to see the bird banders in action and learn more about what they do and why they do it. And like all good road trips, this one began with us getting lost.
We're not far, but I am turned around.
Colored Sands Forest Preserve? Oh yeah, we're going the wrong way.
I'm so sorry, you guys.
This is part of the journey.
Oh, it's a journey.
All right, folks, we're on another Under Rocks adventure, and we're back on our correct route. Where are we going today?
We're going to Colored Sands Forest Preserve and the Sand Bluff Bird Observatory.
And this is our friend Connie Kuntz. She just waved.
Friend of Under Rocks and friend of the birds. Connie, how did you find this place?
It's one of the 44 forest preserves of Winnebago County.
Sure.
And a few years ago, I just wanted to go to every single forest preserve in Winnebago County, so that's how I found it.
Yale Bridge Road.
Is it because there's so many forest preserves in Winnebago County that you got lost going to this one?
That's exactly why. That and the conversation.
Have you bird banded before?
Yes, I've been bird banding for several years with another bander, with another ornithologist.
And what is the purpose of bird banding?
Just tracking the birds, seeing what's coming back year after year, tracking to see if they have Lyme disease.
Oh.
Seeing, there's so much data that you collect with each bird, and you take their blood, you analyze their poop, you look at their feathers, you measure their legs, and you look for abnormalities and anomalies to see, because they're such a good reflection of the environment. And you study them to see if they're healthy or not. And it helps reflect invasive species, like honeysuckle.
So you're able to see that the same birds are coming back and going. Do the bands irritate them?
No.
How do you know?
They just, you know when a bird is stressed and you let it go immediately. Most of the time they're peaceful, and I'll show you.
Arrive at your destination.
All right, we're here, folks. Time to catch some birds.
Morning.
Hello.
Morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
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 I'm Mike.
Hi, Mike. Can we get your name and your title here, too?
Mike Eichmann. I'm station master, Sand Bluff Bird Observatory.
So Connie here has experience. Me and Dan have no experience.
No problem.
But curiosity.
We'll show you. But we have our volunteers here that are trained. We've got 40 nets set out.
Mm-hmm. 40.
In different areas. We got them up in the hill, out on the road, and down below.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll see what we catch. So come in and make yourself at home.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. Can I get your full name, too?
Lee Grover Johnson. I started birding in Winnebago County in 1943, and I started this station in 1967.
What makes this such a good place to band birds? Like, why here?
We're north of the Great Corn Desert. when a bird is migrating,
yeah,
they have to stop and find food in forest and wild areas.
Okay.
And the farmland south of us is very valuable. It's the best farmland in the world. And so farmers use every square inch, so there's not a place for a bird to stop and eat till it gets to the northern row of counties.
Hmm. It can't eat the corn? It's not...
No. A bird that's this long has trouble eating corn.
Yeah. I guess that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So what kind of birds can we find out here?
Well, through the years, we've banded about 150 species. My county list is 320, so there are a lot of different kinds of birds.
Uh-huh.
And some of them stay here all year round. Some are here just in the summer. Some are here just in the winter. And some just pass over. And if it gets dawn, small birds migrate at night. So if it gets dawn, they land. Mm-hmm. And if they're overhead when dawn comes, then they land here.
Yeah.
Or if a storm stops them, they land here.
Have you ever seen one of your birds return, one of your own bands on the same bird? Is that ever?
Oh, sure. We catch a lot of our own birds.
Yeah.
The ones that are here year-round, we catch over and over again. We catch the ones that nest here in the summer. We catch the ones that winter here in the winter. We rarely see the ones that are just passing over again.
Okay.
Out of over 300,000 birds, we've only had two birds that were just had passed over the year, some other year before,
oh,
that
okay.
land and then got caught again.
And what are you learning from the birds?
Their fat and muscle. We're going to take their wing cord, which is the measurement of their wing.
Okay.
From about your wrist to the end of your thumb.
Okay.
And see how their health is. And,
okay.
Identify them. If we can sex them, we'll sex them. Send them out. But we'll see what we get.
Okay.
So when you were describing it, I thought it was all going to be nets by hand, but there's nets kind of set up around.
Well, they're mist nets. You set them up before dawn.
Okay.
So that the birds don't see you doing it. And then the birds just fly into them, and then you gently take them out, put them in a bag, bring them here, pull them out, measure, weigh, maybe take a blood sample.
Okay. Interesting.
And they get to have sex? Is that what I heard?
No, you sex them. Oh. You find out if they're male or female.
We don't
if
do
you
that?
Can.
Oh,
okay.
If we can.
How did you get into this?
How do I get into this? I brought a Cub Scout group up here in 1989, and I met with them and talked to them, and they were looking for volunteers, and I've been here ever since. And you know, I've got background with, I've had a stepbrother that was a falconer.
Okay.
And they taught me a lot about birds and stuff like that.
Is that kind of where you got the love of birds?
Yeah. And of course, once you start out here, once you start doing birds, you get very interested in it. You want to do it all the time. I did it on weekends for a long time while I was working. But now that I'm retired, I can do it anytime I want.
Do you have a favorite bird that you really get excited about when you see in the net?
Well, any hawk.
Yeah.
I'm actually a raptor bander. I, you know, did do that most of the time.
Okay.
Now, the nets that we use are made in Japan, made out of nylon. Okay, we'll stop right here. But each net is 12 meters long, approximately about 10 feet tall. And they stretch out from here up to the other end. But,
and birds don't see this?
Birds don't see it. They fly and they can't see it. It's like a mist net. We can see it here.
Yeah, I couldn't see it when we pulled in.
But if you pull, drive along out there, you can't see it from the road.
Yeah, it's huge. Wow.
You have to be trained doing this, you have to learn which side the net birds came in on.
Now this one's got a band on him already.
Sure does. Oh, he's on this side. Yeah, I was gonna say he's nothing but his band there. Yeah.
I got it. probably one I just banded.
It's a song sparrow.
But birds come through this area, and why they come through, why we get so many of them, is because of the habitat. And we got some good habitat here. We've got water, food, shelter.
Uh-huh.
Everything a bird needs to stay good and healthy.
And Connie was telling us that the birds do kind of stay calm. It does seem like it's fairly relaxed. It's not trying to attack you or anything.
No. The only ones that really try to attack are raptors.
Okay.
And you'll see here soon after he hangs the bag on them that the birds become very still when they're in an enclosed space, which is really nice when you have a lot of them. They keep pretty quiet.
Matt, how did you get interested in this?
So when I was in school at the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana, I was in a club, and that club did a lot of outdoor work. And one of the things that we did just, and one of the things I just ended up doing just because it seemed like fun, was working with nest boxes and the birds that were using them to build nests. And that kind of was the beginning of my journey and my desire to learn more about this field. And then, so I just kind of looked for opportunities that would allow me to do that. And
Connie, I'm going to give that to you.
You bet.
You can carry those.
You got it.
One of those things just happened to be bird banding, and I'm very thankful, you know, at the University of Illinois, there's a very, very strong interest in bird work. And with that includes, you know, a banding station that a lot of, like, university students can come and help out at. And that was kind of my first experience to get into the field. And, you know, those people and the kind of the memories that I made at that banding station were kind of the most pivotal portions to kind of get me interested in this work. And then it's what I do for a career now. So.
Yeah, junco? I can't tell.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a junco, you
yep,
said?
Yeah, dark-eyed junco. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty little bird. You can see kind of the outer feathers on his tail are white, and that's a pretty indicative field mark when you see these guys fly.
And it looks like there's a proper way to handle these birds, the way you're holding them.
That's the birder's grip.
The birder's grip.
Can you describe it? Yeah.
Put the head between your fingers and make it like a little cage with your other fingers.
Okay.
Just don't pull your fingers together.
Like a cigarette.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's kind of interesting because, you know, some people say that children are actually better bird holders than adults, because adults are afraid that they'll crush the bird.
Right.
Because, you know, you think you're stronger as a, you know, more grown person, but children just kind of, they hold it, and that's pretty much the perfect amount they need. So.
They want to be kind of delicate. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so you mentioned the bands have a number on it.
They have 9 digits. A prefix, which tells you what size it is, and then the rest of it's just code. But we'll show them to you when we go back in.
Do you get a sense of, do birds ever get snagged and are able to free themselves?
Oh, yeah.
That does
the bigger the bird, the easier it is for them to get out.
There's one. Oh, it made a noise.
He's got a little blue in his feathers. You said that's an eastern bluebird?
Yeah, eastern bluebird.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I've only ever gotten one of these.
This one's easy. Really? It's a female.
How can you tell?
Doesn't have much color to it. It's got a little color, but not the color of a blue of a male.
Oh. The male would be more blue.
Oh, the male would be just
stunning.
Yeah, I'll get a picture.
Very stunning blue. So this one we can sex. It's easy because of the plumage.
And so that other one that already had the band on it, you still take that in too,
and
you can get more information?
We'll check and see when it was last banded, and if it's a new one or something coming in from some other banding station, we'll know it. I've got some data people coming in. They'll be doing the data on our database. We have a computer in there. We'll enter everything in on that. And there's over 350,000 birds in it.
Oh, excellent.
It's another good species. The field sparrow.
Tiny little guy.
Mm-hmm.
They nest out here in the prairie.
They have this really cool song that kind of sounds like a bouncing ball.
No, I just downloaded this app on my phone where you can play it and it'll tell you what birds are. It'll record and then I was wondering if that was how accurate that was. It seems pretty cool.
They're pretty accurate. Sometimes we do, some of our guys use their Merlin app quite a bit.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah. And so once in a while it'll give you false readings, but not very often.
How can you tell that's the Meadowlark?
So they have at least right now, they have a very, very reliably used flight pattern that you can kind of tell to show that their Meadowlark is supposed to other birds. But there I just heard it singing.
Okay.
Seemed to come from up there, and they like to perch. So.
What's the flight pattern that you mean, sort of the... Mm-hmm.
So when they fly and they beat their wings really, really fast in short bursts. So they flap, and then they go down, flap, go down. And so that's a lot of times when I see a bird doing that, especially with, the shape of the bird and the color on it, I can tell that it's a meadowlark from farther away.
I'm no expert, but I think I heard a woodpecker.
You heard one.
We should talk about the other tools here that are important for this. So there's the bags that the bags go in. The
bags are all mesh bags.
Yeah. Yep. Soft mesh bags. There's a big pair of binoculars.
Well, that's
Yeah, different stations use different things to carry the birds.
Okay.
Some places use paper bags.
Huh.
It's all right till it rains.
Yeah. What's the how long will the bird be in this process? How long till you release it?
It's roughly 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
They should be out of here by quarter after.
Oh.
It depends how many you catch.
Yeah.
One day the more we catch, the more. The
more time it takes to get everything out.
A couple of hours to get them all out. The goal is to have the bird in the belly less than an hour.
Okay.
And did you hear him say before, Dan, there used to be silhouettes of birds on the wall, no. And he said the birds were getting scared of the...
didn't like them.
Yeah.
So we painted interesting. Over.
That's incredible that they can recognize just the silhouette,
right. It's sort of like being dragged into a haunted house and looking at the... Yeah.
I wouldn't like it either. Instinct on their part. They're born knowing... What silhouettes to be
shapes.
Afraid of.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Guess that's why they have those things on the windows at NIU.
Right.
A small bird is sort of like a computer. Everything it needs to know, it's born with in the form of instinct. Instinct takes it from here to the southern tip of South America and back again. They don't follow their parents.
Wow.
So in this database that is... attached to the number on the band, it'll have all that information where it was.
The banding office wants certain information, and we send that to them. Sometimes we collect more information than they want.
Okay.
That goes in our database.
Thank you.
I see a few more birds now.
Maybe you can talk us through this. This looks like a very serious.
We're at the bird banding table now.
So we have a recorder. The recorder needs to be very familiar with birds. Also, it's not a job. We used to set the first person that came in that wanted to be a volunteer. The first thing they did was recording, and we discovered that the information we got wasn't as accurate as if the person knew what to expect from the bander. So the first step is to remove the bird from the bag and identify what species it is. And it could be at least one of 150 species. Some of them are easy to identify, some are very difficult to identify because they're similar ones.
And we just saw him put it on the scale too and weigh.
That's a part of the routine that every banding station does.
Got an American robin.
Mike, are the hill people back?
Yes.
Okay.
American robins are probably one of the best known species in the area because they're very common. Our robins winter in Texas because that's where we've had them show up. We've had three of them show up in Texas.
Oh, and I just noticed the little hole in the window. Yeah. You just send them right out when you're done?
That's the exit.
Van number is 11.
That's the shipping dock.
72881.
Most van numbers are 7 digits or 8 digits.
You always put it on the same
always
left or right?
Always put it on the right leg.
Is there a reason?
Because
or just...
that's what our station does. It's not a requirement.
Okay. It doesn't need to be consistent.
SY?
The age of the
second
bird
year?
Is the year that it occupies. So the first year of its life, it's a hatching year bird. And on January 1st, it becomes a second year bird. On January 1st, the next year, it becomes a third year bird.
75.7.
And you can age them, or we age the birds, most birds, by their plumage, the wear on the feathers and their molt sequences and stuff.
2 and 4.
What does that indicate?
Yeah, explain to us.
Fat and muscle.
Yeah.
The 2 is the amount of fat that's on the bird. It's not very fat right now.
Is that just a judgment call you're
just
making?
A judgment
just
call.
Looking? Okay.
And muscle is about the same way.
Okay.
It's got pretty good muscle. This one here is darker. Got a dark head. Breast is real red. And we'll probably take a couple of them outside and release them outside. And of course, one of their release mechanisms is to get rid of feathers. If a bird grabs them in the back, they can let go of the feathers. They think, you know, and then the next thing you know, you got a bare butt. But it happens. They let release feathers.
Out he goes.
Almost all North American birds molt in the fall and get all new feathers. If they didn't get new feathers, by the time they're 3 or 4 years old, they'd be without feathers because they'd wear off completely.
So when you blew across the bird, you were trying to just so you could
separate,
get a visual...
Separate the feathers so you can see what you're looking at.
The skin is translucent like wax paper, so you can see through it, not clearly, but you can see through it. So if it's fat, it appears sort of yellowish, whitish yellow.
Do you ever get a bird you can't identify?
Nope. We have.
Nope. We have, but we don't. We've had one out of all of them. We don't usually have.
Yeah.
Have problems identifying them.
There are some birds that are totally identical. The only way to tell them apart is by their song. And for some reason, they don't sing when you're holding them.
185.
Fox sparrows nest in evergreen forests, so it's on its way up to Canada or the northern part of the United States. They also nest on the mountaintops in the United States where there's evergreen forests. One of the first birds to come back in the spring, the fox sparrow,
okay.
On his way north.
38.0.
Good goal. You sort of wonder what the bird's experience of this is. Like, what's the Yelp review that the bird would give? One banding station.
Yeah.
Will not come back.
It was in and out in 15 minutes. It wasn't too bad.
Lots of people staring at me.
I feel, and this is probably based on prejudice, ignorance, and superstition, that birds don't have the memory that we have as far as circumstance they're exposed to. Because so many times in their life, they're close to being dead. They'd have shell shock like our soldiers have if they remembered every incident.
Oh,
You mean they're in danger a lot?
Well, yeah.
Out there. Just
band number 3181-17536.
The robin is a thrush. The hermit thrush is a thrush. It nests in evergreen forest in about the same areas that the fox sparrow nests. It has a beautiful song. Some people attribute its song to be the most beautiful song of any bird in the world. Wow. And they stay here in the winter now. Used to just a few of them, but with climate change again, more of them are further north than they used to be.
Do you want the birds to have more fat? Or
more fat.
That's better for them?
Better for them.
Okay. When they're migrating.
Yeah.
Energy. That's where they get it.
And what are you learning from that? Just when you... The amount of fat the bird has. What does that tell you?
Tells me he's been eating good.
Okay.
How healthy they are.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah.
You know, when a bird lands in the morning after migrating all night, it has no fat. Some birds lose 20 to 40% of their body weight at night when they're migrating.
Just in one night.
There are birds that fly for days at a time without stopping to eat, sleep, or drink, and they even start digesting the parts of their body that they don't use when they migrate. Mm. Their stomach shrinks because they aren't feeding when they're... Their liver shrinks, everything shrinks because they turn it into water and energy. Is that a song sparrow?
Yep.
Song sparrow is one of the most common sparrows there is. It's distributed all over the United States. There's 23 subspecies of the song sparrow.
A lot of them in Illinois, I imagine.
At least three of them pass through here. We don't know how to tell the subspecies apart.
Retrap, song sparrow, 3181-17501.
That's a bird that nests in open areas, in grass on the ground.
We heard you say retrap, so that's one that has a band already.
Yeah.
Probably nesting here. It hasn't started yet, but.
And it's one of your bands? It's not from a different banding station?
Oh,
okay.
No. We rarely catch birds that have been banded by anyone else.
Oh.
Hmm.
First of all, you have to band about 20,000 birds to have one show up somewhere.
20,000.
And then there are not that many banding stations around, and the chance of a bird landing in where it is about like winning a big lottery.
Yeah. I wonder that sometimes because out in DeKalb, there's so many geese everywhere. And I notice a lot of geese have bands on them too, but yeah. I wonder how far if some of those were banded far away.
I used to send the neck ones with neck bands in, and a lot of them were up in Hudson Bay.
You said neck bands too?
Oh, neck bands. They had bands on the neck with a number you could read with your telescope.
Interesting.
There, we had two or three of them were from Green Bay.
Oh, wow.
We have an eastern bluebird. Female.
Good call.
Yeah, I love it.
We're excited about the bluebird.
So, I would imagine that banding a goose is unpleasant.
There are birds that are dangerous. Very adept at protecting themselves.
Yeah.
And being uncomfortable when you're holding them. Like a northern shrike doesn't just pinch you, it takes a hunk of flesh out the size of its bill. The bluebird population at one time was so low that they were looked like they were heading toward extinction. That's back in the days when they were using DDT and mowing all the roads and this, that, and the other thing, and suffering habitat loss. And people started putting out bluebird houses, and they came back again.
What do you think the rarest bird you guys have ever caught was? Is there like a holy grail of birds that you're always looking for?
We've had probably 8 or 9 birds that are very, very rare. And probably the rarest one from the furthest away is the Townsend's warbler. It nests in the rainforest on the west coast.
Yellow rail. It
shouldn't be this far east.
Oh, really? It was one of the.
You said yellow rail?
Yellow rail.
Oh, never heard of that.
The rarest bird. We caught it on Easter morning out here in the field.
When the American Birding Association was formed, they had the members list the 10 rarest birds, the hardest to see birds in the United States, and the yellow rail was one of those 10 out of over 800 and some birds. One of the top 10.
Field sparrow, retract.
On an average of young perching birds, about 20-40% live to be a year old of the ones that leave the nest. And a lot of them don't live to leave the nest. So.
Yeah, I imagine that's the most dangerous time for them.
Yeah. So in the fall, the major number of birds we catch are young birds out of the nest, and in the spring, it's about 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
Field sparrow is a prairie species. And when all the prairies were done away, they shifted to pastures and clover fields. And now there aren't any pastures, so the field sparrow population is way down. Because we have prairie out here, we catch a lot of field sparrows, but it's gotten to be quite an unusual bird because of loss of habitat.
Wow.
So, we're going to take those birds out. You guys are going to release them.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to teach you how to do these.
Yeah, I don't want to hurt the bird.
You won't.
Okay. What kind of bird is this?
This is a song sparrow.
Okay.
Now, what you need to do is finger like that.
All
right. Okay, I'm going to put the head right between there. And just close your hand just a little bit. Don't.
Oh.
Can you feel the heart?
Yeah, my thumb.
Okay. It's very easy to feel that. Now all you do to let go, just open your hand.
It'll know what to do?
It'll know what to
do. It's not going
to
drop?
Nope.
Wow.
Just that easy.
Do you think he'll remember me?
Yeah, that guy, boy, I tell you what.
Wow, that's amazing. You want me to hold it?
He's like, I've never been held like that before.
So nervously.
So.
This is a hermit thrush.
The head with these two?
Yeah. Just like that. Just.
Wow.
Gently, very gently. You can usually feel the heartbeat.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it.
Wow.
Open your hand up.
Wow.
Now that one's going to go up to the northern tier of U.S., Canada, and nest up there. That's a hermit thrush. They're the first thrushes to come through other than the robin. The robin sometimes never leaves here. They're a thrush also, but that's hermit thrush. They're the first ones to come back. They're the first ones to go south. Okay, this is a fox sparrow.
This
is one of the larger sparrows. This one's going up to the up north. Okay, I'm just going to go put right between your hands. Now just gently put your fingers like that. Don't close around real tight. You can probably feel the heartbeat too.
Yeah.
And then just turn around, open your hand. There you go.
It's just beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah,
it's so soft.
I just love their brown. I think their brown is so beautiful.
Yeah.
So cool.
Second to none. Congratulations.
First bird holding.
Cool experience.
Yeah. And that's the first thing we teach you all how to hold them.
Yeah.
And it works out real well. As you can see,
we're flooded.
That's the Sugar River that's come up. And you'll notice there's a net out there.
Yeah, it looks like that one's taken down for now.
Yeah, it's all rolled up. We normally would be using that. That's our swamp net.
Cool. That's amazing.
So would you typically find some different species over here then?
You might get water.
cedar waxwings. We've caught solitary sandpipers out there.
Really?
Kingfishers, just you name it.
But oh, those are big.
You get chickadees out here. And
you ever get a heron?
We haven't had heron in a long time. We've had night herons.
Is it because they're not here?
No great blue herons.
Okay. Is it because they're not here? Because they're
too big.
They're too big.
Yeah.
Those are really cool looking.
But we got wood duck nests out there.
Huh.
At the end of that pier, there's a prothonotary. There's those wood ducks. The number of birds this morning just isn't here. You can hear them. You hope that maybe some of them will get in the nets, but they still could. Our permit here allows us to ban everything but bald eagles.
Okay.
Up until this year, we weren't allowed to do hummingbirds.
Right, same thing.
But we have a lady inside now.
Oh.
She's trained in hummingbirds.
Great.
And she has a permit. On her permit is hummingbirds, so we'll be doing hummingbirds this year.
What's the size of the band for the hummingbird then?
It's called an X.
An X, okay.
And it's so damn small.
I bet it's just adorable.
How do you even read a number?
It comes in a sheet of 100.
Mm-hmm.
It's about that long, that wide. And you have to hand cut each band out.
Use a magnifying glass and to read the numbers
yes,
on it.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, we went to one once, and they were all on a safety pin.
Oh, yeah. It's so cute.
Yeah.
In sort of a larger picture sense, other than the migration patterns, what is bird banding taught us? What do we know now that we didn't know before?
Bird populations.
Okay.
Migrations. Mainly habitat loss. We've learned a lot. If you don't have habitat, then you won't have birds. We have to really be careful how we do our habitat, how we treat our lawns, how we treat our fields. You know, everything comes together. The more chemicals and stuff you use, the more you're going to have problems. We're losing a lot of bugs. We haven't seen mosquitoes. Like here, we didn't have mosquitoes the last 2 years because of the drought. And birds need mosquitoes to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just swallows eat so many mosquitoes and so many bugs. But you gotta have the food for the birds. And if we don't have the habitat, we don't have the birds. And that's what it's taught a lot of us. You know, birds are becoming less in numbers. When I started in 89, we used to catch 7,000-8,000 birds. Now we're lucky if we get 4,000 birds a year. But, you know.
And you attribute that to habitat loss.
Habitat loss.
Chemicals.
And look, you look at what the farmers are doing right now. They're taking out a lot of fence rows and stuff like that to farm. Put more crops in, or corn crops in. That and then they want to know why there's no pheasants. Well, they've taken all the habitat away for the pheasants. They've taken the fence rows out,
right?
And it's all gone. They're not there. Mm-hmm. Down around DeKalb, there used to be tons of pheasants down there. You don't find any of them down there anymore.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for showing us around and talking with us.
You're welcome to stay.
I learned so much.
Well, you're welcome to come back.
Thank you.
We could use you.
I'd love to help. I'd love to come back.
Yeah, we should mention, is there a place people can go to find more info about how to get involved?
Mm-hmm. You can go to our website or just show up here. We'd love to have help. We need help.
What is that website?
Looks
like it's
sandbluff.org.
Sandbluff.org
or go to Facebook.
Yeah, follow you on Facebook. Yeah. Whoever posts the pictures is great.
John Long Henry is our photographer out here.
He's legendary.
And he
so
just does so such a good job.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's been a lot of fun.
All right, you guys, I am ready to go. Got my camera, I've got my binoculars, I've got my guys? Wait a minute. Where is everybody? Here's a note dated last week. No! All right. Dear Sue, couldn't wait. Meet us there. Okay. P.S. Would you mind thanking Mike Eichmann, Lee Johnson, John Longhenry, and the whole crew of bird banders at Sand Bluff Bird Observatory? Sandbluff.org to learn more, volunteer, or just visit. And thank friend of Under Rocks, Connie Kuntz. And Under Rocks is produced at Northern Illinois University by WNIJ. If you've got an idea for the show, email us at rocks@niu.edu. Fine. Done.